Okay, I guess it's not quite 10:30 yet, but I think enough of people. Should we start? Does it matter? White space and hierarchy. So I don't walk in the way of my own light here. By way of introduction, my name is Justin Ebersole, and I've been involved in graphic design and layout for close to 15 years. Spent 10 of those years living in Honduras doing design work and graphic design from there. We recently relocated back here to the States. And graphic design is a very interesting work because graphic design reveals so much of your personality. So much becomes a part of you and who you are. And when you look at someone's design, you can say, oh, I know who designed that, or if you know the individual, you begin to say, for the first number of years I worked at Rosewood, and it's pretty easy when a new project was done, printed, pick it up. Oh, I know who designed that. You didn't maybe not even see it before, and by nature of styles comes through. But anyway, anything from advertisements to brochures, catalogs, billboards, anything around that takes design is something that fascinates me, something that I've enjoyed. And principles for that. I don't know how many of you were in yesterday's class on the styles and the ingredients of what makes a good style. As I was finishing preparing this last evening, it kind of hit me how much today's lesson, today's topic, takes what we learned yesterday, what we looked at yesterday, of the ingredients of color and color palettes and fonts, typography, and the feelings that fonts convey, and shapes and symbols and photos. And as you take those things and you craft them all together, white space and hierarchy is actually the outworking of that, is actually putting it into practice, is actually, and I felt a little bit at the end of yesterday's topic, it felt like we covered a lot of the ingredients and the basics, but we didn't really get into the practical outworking of how does it come together? How does it just feel right? So those are some of the principles we want to look at today of what is white space and hierarchy. So first of all, we'll define our terms. What is white space? In page layout, illustration, and sculpture, white space is often referred to as negative space. It is the portion of a page left unmarked. Margins, gutters, space between columns, lines of type, graphics, figures, or objects drawn or depicted. The term arises from graphic design practice where printing processes generally use white paper. However, white space should not be considered merely blank space. It is an important element of design which enables objects in it to exist at all. The balance between positive or non-white and the use of negative space is key to aesthetic composition. Inexpert use of white space, however, can make a page appear incomplete. And what I want to explain is that while white space is kind of considered the general term, it's only referred to as white because we use white paper. Negative space is probably a better term. Simply, it means a blank area. But it's not blank in that it doesn't serve a purpose. It's very valuable. But where you put those blank spots has a way of either letting the user feel deflated and empty. Is it bright enough? I mean, I don't care. You can turn the lights off. I'm not really as worried about color today as I was yesterday. If that's easier to read, that's fine. And so, yet if white space is disregarded, the user feels very overwhelmed and can hardly get their breath. They feel very claustrophobic. But when white space is done right, it lets a tremendous impact, and the person walks away and says, wow, you know, they really feel like they connected with that. So that's white space or negative space. Oops, went backwards. So what is hierarchy? Hierarchy refers to the arrangement or presentation of elements in a way that implies importance. In other words, visual hierarchy influences the order in which the eye, human eye, perceives what it sees. This order is created by a visual contrast between forms in a field of perception. Objects with the highest contrast to their surroundings are recognized first by the human mind. The term visual hierarchy is used most frequently in the discourse of the visual arts fields, notably within the field of graphic design. Both of these definitions come from Wikipedia. So at the bottom of all this, what are we really talking about? What is the goal of the printed page? What is the goal of an advertisement? What is the goal of a billboard? The purpose of white space in hierarchy is to provide legibility. It is to communicate a message. How many of you have seen an ad or seen a paper and you just feel overwhelmed? Like, I don't know where to look. It's confusing. Whether it's an instruction manual or whether it's a textbook. And you're just like, you feel like you're swimming. And then you pick up another piece and it just flows. And you're like, well, what's the difference? And those are things that we want to examine today. And I have this slide in numerous times because I have told my fellow graphic designers, my ones who work for me, I say, if they can't read it, it's not worth it. And so the very first thing when someone picks up a page, communicating what is this all about is the number one thing. And we'll look at reasons why it needs to be that way. So what do these two things have to do with design and layout? How does white space, negative space, empty space have to do with hierarchy? The arrangement of things, big bold letters, little tiny letters, short and sweet letters, fat and stocky letters. But not just letters, pictures, shapes, colors. How do those two things work together? Imagine if you opened your Bible and it looked like this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and you tried to read your Bible. Or the preacher tried to tell you where to turn to. How overwhelming. Give me some space so I can figure out what's going on is the feeling that comes over us. Dictionaries might be the closest thing that looks like this. Dictionaries is a reference book. You know, thankfully, we have Bibles that look like this. And not always like this, but we have come to appreciate the structure and white space our Bible has. It makes reading the Bible and church life much simpler. Basically, it's easy to get to where we want to go. So that leads me to a very basic point, foundation about structure, hierarchy, that God has given to us since the beginning of time, since creation. God created the world in an orderly fashion. This order gives us a structure in which to expect how things will work. From authorities in church, home, school, civil government, we have come to enjoy the orderliness that contributes to a productive life. These same principles are what applies to white space and hierarchy. And I pulled two verses somewhat out of context because 1 Corinthians is not talking about graphic design. He's talking about speaking in tongues. But God is not the author of confusion, and let all things be done decently and in order. Structure is a big part of what God has ordained. And what the devil has come along is taken those foundational things and twisted them. And he has made confusion. The more he can keep people wondering what's going on in deception, and that, of course, was the sermon we heard this morning. That is the devil's intent, and the orderliness, the energy, the productivity that comes from a life. And again, I have my slide again. The purpose of white space is to provide legibility, is to provide a message. Now, there are times where, like I did here in this design, where initially it looks overwhelming. It doesn't easily follow a pattern. And sometimes we intentionally create a feeling of confusion to drive a point home. And that has to be done very carefully, because that can end up being counterproductive. So let's take a little closer look at some, what I have here. In the next few slides, there are some images. How quickly do we comprehend what's going on? Many of you have seen ads like this. Describe to me your feelings when you see something like this. How does it make you feel? Which item in there are you going to buy? Which one is more important? It's just, the yellow gives me a very difficult feeling to really read what's happening. The dotted lines make me feel there's a break in the structure around each item, and then each item is so full I can't read it. And so when I see a page like that, unless I know Arbor Freight actually has something I might want to buy, I just flip the page and keep on going, because this is too much work to figure out what's there. Similar page. Ads in the back of a Popular Mechanics. Again, I guess they make money because people keep putting them there. But it doesn't make any sense. And have you ever seen road signs? How's a person supposed to figure out what's going on here? Permit zone, horse-drawn vehicle? That's what I pulled off the internet. But this is actually a customer of mine who gave me his ad, and he said, can we improve this? If you get the Lancaster Farming, you might have seen that ad. Okay, we're working with him. We hope to give him a better ad. Where do you look? Where do you go? So, the layout of the previous example showed a designer who was scared of negative space. He felt that if there was an empty area, it was wasted space and needed to be filled. In doing so, he weakened the impact of his message. The result of what happened was, I'm just moving on. It's too confusing. I have better things to do. I need to keep moving. That is an urge that happens to a lot of, I want to say amateur designers, but it's the kind of thing that whenever you first come approach layout, you feel like you've got to have something every spot. Now, if you're working with a company and they're paying, back to that Lancaster Farming ad, $800 to have that ad run for one issue, I want all the information in because that's a lot of money. Well, what ended up happening is he spent $800 and really didn't connect with an audience. Now, I don't know. Maybe he did. But as I look at it, I say, we could really cut that ad down to one single thing and push that one single thing, and your $800 would be very much more effective. But what happens is when we overload people's ability to take things in, when we overload that, they simply throw up the walls and say it's too confusing, and they walk away. We see it a lot in school children, you know, some children who struggle in school. And if they get a textbook that's not very well laid out, and the fonts are small, and there's not many pictures, and they're just like, the history books that are just primarily text, why look at it? And I'm back to my same slide. You'll get tired of seeing this one. But legibility, communication, excuse me. That is the bottom line, that if you can't get through, why even try? And that same principle applies to school teaching, preaching. You know, if people aren't listening to the message, what's the purpose of even giving it? So, for comparison, what are differences in the next couple of ads? What's different about this ad than the three or four we looked at earlier? We have a clear title. Your eye goes here first. We have a clear graphic. We're talking about horses and horse shelters. We give a clear call to action. Contact these folks. This is what we will provide for you. Okay? Another one. Again, a call to action. You know, the client in this one could have said, well, I sell sheds, and this one has an old junky car here that has nothing to do with my sheds. Let's get rid of this. Okay? We wanted to communicate that something else has taken over the garage where the car should be, and the car wore out. So we need them to get a shed. Okay, there's a whole feeling, there's a whole mood that's communicated here. It's put together with thought. The general color tone is to bring in a sense of, you have this problem, we can fix it for you. So in comparison, put the two ads side by side. Which one would you rather look at? Which one would you rather? We all know the answer. An ad like this, whether or not I'm even interested in the shed, this is what gives me a clear message. Does this page have white space? Does this page have negative space? Yes, it does. I see nothing white. No, this whole area is white space. Negative space. There's nothing in this because I want you to focus on the question mark and my text. I don't want to clutter it with anything else. I want you to focus on this and this only. So does it really matter? And that's what I want to look at over the next couple of slides here is white space. We have two identical portions of text. What's the difference? This one, we have no clear pattern. It's just information. It's just like a raw data sheet that we plug in to our CSV files, what we call our data files, and we have it just fill up the database. It's just data. The computer doesn't care what it looks like. It just wants data. This one says, there is an intellectual person who is trying to decipher that data. We need to lay it out. And this was simply something I pulled off the internet. He's talking specifically about symbols and design. But I ran across this interesting little tidbit. How long should a line of text be? Should you run text the whole way across 8.5 by 11, you know, portrait side, the whole way, you know, let's say we had, you know, like this, you know, do we run text again and again the whole length? On a web page, should we run text the whole way across? And there's a lot of varying opinion out there, but there have been studies done, and they say a 66-character line, counting both letters and space, is widely considered as ideal. For multiple column work, a better average is 40 to 50. So your column's width should not be greater or less than this number of characters. You get less than this characters and you feel squished. You feel like the editor or the layout artist was just trying to put the information in there. You get too large and I get exhausted to get from one end of the line to the other. It gets to be too much. But a nice, concise, comfortable reading is approximately in the mid-60s line. Came across this quote, and I really liked it. It said, white space in design composition is the same as use of silence in a musical composition. Without proportionate use of silence, music is unstructured. Some may even call it noise. Similarly, without white space or negative space, design is unstructured and difficult to consume. And that's quite true. I mean, if you had a musical presentation and it was just solidly going on, noise after noise, like a metalworking shop, we're like, give me some earplugs, give me something. There's no pattern to this. But as you turn on music or as you're in a congregation and they're singing and there's pattern, and there's breaks, and there's rests, and it gives you a sense of productivity, a sense of worship, a sense of... So what kind of white space is there? There are two types. Macro white space is the space between large elements, between large photos and titles. It is the container in which all elements reside. Excellent websites are such as Google.com or Apple.com. Google.com is where you have one big white page and it has a search bar right in the middle with their logo right above it. Nothing else. Very effective. All we want you to do is search something on the internet. We don't want you to do anything else. Apple website, again, is very similar to that. Usually they have simply one product in the middle of their page with three lines of text beside it, and that is it. So that is considered macro space. It's, as a layout artist, it is one sheet of paper, 1.5 by 11, or it's a spread. This is my white space. This is my canvas. How am I going to use it? That is the macro. Then we have the micro. Micro is simply the space between letters and lines, margins, leading, kerning, etc., and the corresponding elements. This is important to convey text in a readable, legible manner. Readability, scannability, and legibility are the three main things you need to be concerned about when laying out this page. And this is simply the first couple words of Moby Dick. This is very important because depending on what your audience is, again, this is going back to yesterday's conversation. Depending on what your audience is will depend on how this comes across. If it is a reference book where you're more concerned about giving them information than you are about them being comfortable reading the information, then you will pack this tighter. We'll go to the next slide. This will explain it. Okay, this is a little overdone. But this is to show you how this becomes so incredibly difficult. I can't even figure out what's going on. But if I was reading a reference manual, this would be comfortable because it's close enough. I might even go a shade closer with these. Think about space around the edge. No, this is right up against. There's no space there. This one gives me a little bit of margin. Okay, this would work well for, say, a reference manual, where a dictionary, where I'm more concerned about presenting information than I am about the comfort of the reader. This one is for a storybook or scannability, where somebody reaches a section in the storybook that, that's kind of boring, and they flip the page and they kind of scan the page. No, you're not supposed to read that way. But, you know, this makes it comfortable. A study conducted indicates that proper use of white space between lines of paragraph and its left and right margins can increase comprehension up to 20%. And it goes back to that same principle of feeling overwhelmed, of feeling, give me space. Okay, no, they wouldn't say that. But a lot of people don't actually think about that feeling until you say, well, why does that page feel so? Go back to that yellow ad. Why does that page feel so overwhelming? It's because it's too much information. Your brain can't process it all at once. If it was a computer and we just dumped raw data in there, it wouldn't matter. But we're not that way. We have to process data. Now let's take a brief look at macro. I'm going to show two more slides here, and I want you to tell me how this makes you feel. What is that word doing to you? Okay? Same word. What is that doing to you? Any thoughts? I'm doing all the talking. This is a workshop. Like we're shouting at us. Exactly. In your face, stop! Don't go anywhere! This one, it's weak. It's like, stop. You know, it's not authoritative. It's lost. Okay, so there are times where I'm going to want to make a timid message. And if I want to make a timid message, but I want them to know it, I'll use this style of a layout. You say, but sir, you're wasting all that. No, we're not wasting it. We are using it to communicate the message we want to communicate. I really want to get somebody's attention. I put it right in front of them. I want them to feel overwhelmed. I want them to read it. I should have done this yet. but I didn't, is made one of these where the stop goes off the edge. You've seen that in magazines already where they make the font really big and it goes off the edge. Okay, that's to take that feeling even further in an artistic way. And some of that kind of starts to borderline on some of the more modern and begins to reject some of the classic of, you know, traditional design. And some of that's okay to bring some flavor. Again, if it's overdone, it can be too much. So, I forgot I did that on some of those. I have a series of covers here that I want you to tell me, where do you see negative space? If you were a business owner who is wanting to make maximum use of your cover, you'd say, you need to put something in there. Where is that?
The left of the screen.
Right. Why let that empty? You could put something nice in there about saying, turn to page 43 and read this. Where else?
Underneath the computer.
This whole area. We're missing this area. Even in here. Why a straight line on this end? Why isn't everything tucked up in here and we could use this? You know, make two columns here. I mean, Macworld of all things, that's in the way. Let's get that up in white space. I thought this was a very clever play on words when I saw this cover. Blurred identity. White space. Just a simple image. But what? It gets the point across. It helps them to understand what's going on. Another world, another cover. White space here. And we're going to get into hierarchy in a moment. This is a cover we might come back and talk about. Think about how the iPhone word is tucked in behind. This is not. This is over here. Very bold, very large, moderate, very small. And then kind of an afterthought down below. Negative space. It's a black page. We could have slid this up, put a whole paragraph about what we're going to say about this man. No. We want people to realize his life is over. What's wrong with this one? I saw this one and I was like, Mac life. I feel a little bit overwhelmed. Okay, we do have an empty space here that they did something here. We could have put something there. But other than that, this feels rather overwhelming. More because of there's a background that's pulling your eye, that's trying to pull your attention more than the text here. And I put this one in here because this is the borderline of where a cover begins to become too busy. It begins to say, there's too many things to look at. There's too many things to go after. So, leads me to this thought. Artistically and thoughtfully using negative space and design of covers and layouts will provide clear emphasis on your message. Often more time can be spent on getting the right photo than on the text itself. And what I mean by the right photo is getting the right area of empty space. You go back to some of those covers, like the cover of the man. Getting a photo that has the sufficient negative space at the right areas can be very difficult to find that exact message that you want it to be. But it's very important. This was a billboard I saw years ago, when I was just a young man. I still have no idea what company put that out. Sometimes less is more. I don't know. But this, and I don't know if it's a beauty products, I don't know if it's something with some for social media campaign, I don't know what it's all about. But all this empty space. But it's all about, and I guess the message they were after is quietness, meditation. I mean, that's all I was after, because big, you know, taking quiet time. This wasn't the exact billboard. It was this. I actually think that they didn't have the lips on. I think they just had an outline of the mouth. This was just a stock one I found online that gave the idea of what I was after. But that principle was very true. Sometimes less is more. When in doubt, leave it out, is a little saying that I like to use. If you're not sure, should I put something in there? Don't. Because it'll detract from the rest of your message. It'll detract from the rest of what you're going. And I found this other quote when I was researching online, reading about these things. White space isn't literally an empty space. It's a powerful design tool. The application of white space is both art and science. Maintaining an optimal level of white space in the design composition and creating a balance will only come by experience and practice. And that is the unfortunate thing, is that there is an element of art to this, that, you know, if somebody's not a musician, you can't make them a musician. If somebody's not a designer, you can't make them a designer. And so there are principles we can follow, and there are things that we can do. But it is true that there's a certain element of this that simply is the gifts that God gives us. Some people are orators, some are not. Some people are song leaders, some are not. And that is understanding that, you know, if I'm really not a designer, then I now might as well not try to beat myself up that I'm not. I might as well find what I can do. I take it that because most of you are here, that you enjoy design. But it is something that comes with practice. Now, I'm ready to move into the second part of talking about hierarchy. But before I get to hierarchy, there is a principle, a scientific side of this that I want to discuss. And that is understanding eye movement patterns. Scientists have studied and have watched the way people look at a page, an ad, a magazine. And it's very interesting. And I don't know, maybe you've thought of it, maybe you haven't. But often whenever I talk to people who haven't thought of these things, it's very interesting. Because of our culture, we always read top down, left to right. Now, there are some cultures that read top down, right to left, like Arabic and Hebrew languages. But for the most part, we're not going to talk about the others. We're going to talk about these. So whenever you have a cover of a book or a magazine, think about it. What is the eye pattern that you do? You go top left, crossed. Oh, so this is what it's about. Well, and if you're interested, you glance across and you catch what's in the middle and you go out the bottom end. If you're really interested and that is catching your information, then typically follow the F pattern. You go back and you start at the top and you work your way down, reading across. And then, I don't have the leaving arrow, but you leave the page by going out the bottom. Knowing that allows us, and this is a graphic that shows some of the studies that they've actually done on websites, popular CNN website, without scrolling. You know, you go across. Here's where they actually did eye studies and show you websites where they, you know, read of where content is. Google search, the first four results get the attention. If you're not on the first page of Google and our marketing company, it's a question we face with any website client. How can I get on the first page? Because they know if they're not on the first page, they have a hard time getting anywhere. But this principle, understanding eye pattern, allows us to strategically place content where it receives the most attention and provide the most impact on the reader. Breaking or not following an eye pattern in the layout or placement of your content will cause a user to leave the page and reject the message. So basically what ends up happening, if you don't have an eye pattern to follow, if you don't have a structure that they're accustomed to, go back to that yellow page ad. My favorite one to pick one. You know, there's no pattern. It's just overwhelming. And so in your design, as you're laying out, think about that. So I come back to my favorite slide. The purpose of white space and hierarchy is to provide legibility. Does this page have hierarchy? Does this page have a sense of what's important? Yes, it does. Hierarchy is the bolded, or not bolded, is the capitalized word. I want you to know what I'm talking about. And I ask a question, does this page have it? So, what are the ways that we can look at hierarchy? I have about 8 or 9 different points here on what hierarchy is. And then we'll look at examples of these. Size and scale. The larger the item, it gets the more attention. Pretty straightforward. Typography hierarchy. Basically, hierarchy in text. Contrasting style gets the attention. And we've used that. We talked about this yesterday. That whenever you use a script font, experience, enjoy, you're welcome. You know, we put that out there to get their attention. But then we make it easier for them to read the message by stating that in a sans serif or a simple serif font. Proximity. Items grouped have togetherness. And we'll look at this one later, but that has to do with when you have a set of photos. If they're arranged in a group, they feel like they're a unit. You break that group and you have a separate unit. You try to group photos together that they're supposed to be together, but you make one big and one small and you splatter them all around. There's no continuity. And white space. White space, more space available, the more attention to it. In other words, the more space around it, the more attention that it gets, the easier it is to understand what's happening. We discussed that one already. But white space is a tool of hierarchy, is a tool of putting things in the right order. Alignment, putting things straight in a line. One is out of line, all the rest are. The one that's out of line, if it's done right, will get the attention. If it's done wrong, will look like a designer didn't put it in right. Again, it comes back to understanding. Repetition and continuity. You're flipping a page through a textbook. You keep that feeling the same because you want the student to expect what's coming next. And all of a sudden, one page, you throw in a full color design. It doesn't follow the previous pages. That's because you wanted to break their attention. This is a separate little side subject I really want you to know about. But I'm not going to make it like the rest because I want your attention differently. And so we have the, you know, the customs and the special little insights into, and I think of social studies or science, where we use those pages a lot, sprinkled throughout, to try to break up the attention. Repetition and continuity. Repeating elements or layouts indicate it's related. When you break that, you're intending to bring a new feeling. Well, what happened here? Rules of thirds, and this is something that's pretty common in photography, but understanding how your page is divided up into 9 blocks and how your eye follows that pattern. Eyes recognize things in units, thirds provide focal points. So we're going to look at each individual of these as we go along. Looks like my phone clicker decided to quit working on me, so I guess I'll have to do it here. Perspective, view from a different view provides interesting, I didn't finish that, provides an interesting perspective. Basically, you think of this table. I can look at it from down here, and all I see is the legs and the tabletop. I can look at it from above, and I get a different perspective. I can look at it from this side, and I get a different perspective yet. Yet it's all the same table. The table didn't change. Understanding that in layout can help you present similar principles, such as in a math book where you're trying to teach the same thing, but you have to be done with care because you can end up confusing somebody if you're too much different. I don't know what happened here. Anyway. So, now we're just going to quickly go through those 9 or 10 that I had listed there and give you some examples of how it works. Size and scale. Here, the great whale looks the same size as the diver. We know in real life that's not true. How do you communicate that on a page? You make the whale really big, you make the diver very small, and you give some space there. Okay? That gives size and scale. Color and contrast. I didn't talk about this one specifically in that list, but you know, we have one fellow different in the middle here, but we don't, you didn't even notice that. Maybe you did, if you're good at it. But there's one fellow in the middle that's different. Here, we give him a different color as the very first thing you saw. You saw this fellow is different. Okay? Give some contrast. You want something to stand out. Give a little different color to it. Give a little different flair to it. Proximity. Again, this is the grouping. We have a group of photos. They all have exactly the same distance between them. Our eye views that as a single unit. We expect all of those photos, especially if we're doing a web page, and this is a gallery page, we expect all of those images to be of the same subject. Come down to here, we have a wider space that gives us a break. Okay? We expect that this group must be something different than that group. We didn't say that, but through hierarchy, we communicated that. Typography, business card. And this might also be scale and perspective. You know, all the fonts the same size. Over here, the name is bigger. We want people to recognize to know the name and then know the person. Okay? This can be done both ways, whether it's large fonts and small fonts. But contrast in that brings hierarchy in that brings a cohesive message. Alignment. And here, we just created kind of a hodgepodge. Here, we have a nice straight line. We get a vertical feel here. We get a more sophisticated feel, an organized feel, even though it is a variety of items. Alignment is a very big deal. Rule of thirds. This fellow's moving, but he's stuck in the center. It just feels a little blah. Put him to the edge. Put him over here in the third. Let this negative space be here. But you're wasting space, you say. No, I'm communicating. I'm giving attention to this fellow moving. He's about ready to leave. You get a better sense of context. Placing, and I guess that's one of the things we're going to get into in some of the future slides. We're going to look at some covers and this principle of rules of thirds and how bringing text and things into this empty, what I call empty space or negative space, you don't want to fill that up. But if you would put a title here, or if you'd put a caption down here, goes a long way in improving your message and providing an impact. This is perspective and creativity. As I was talking about, your view from the side, okay, gives you one idea. Well, what if you looked at it from above? You get a whole different sense of what's happening on his desk. Here, it's just a man sitting there doing his work. Here, you get an insight as to what's happening. Think about that as you do your layouts. What kind of perspective do you communicate? And so often, we as designers tend to fall in our ruts that we just, you know, it's easy to forget about these different ideas that can be done. Taking a specific look at the magazine page, this comes from a marketing website where they were specifically trying to show how to get people's attention. The first thing you need to do to your reader is attract them. And that is often done, and again, yesterday we talked about photos. Photos are worth 1,000 words. A powerful photograph can grab people's attention. We have this fella sitting here with a bowl of cereal or whatever happening, and he's looking rather distressed. We got your attention. So can we keep your interest? We give a punchy headline. How much is a pint of milk? Okay. Interesting. Well, what does it have to say? We read the text at the bottom. We take the time. If this page was full of this, we would not have stopped and taken the time to look at it. But because we brought you in, it's that whole funnel idea of you cast a wide net to try to bring them in. And hopefully we get results. How long do we have? When's this supposed to be done? 11:30. Okay, so we have about 20 minutes yet. Hey, there it worked again. Okay, what are practical steps in hierarchy? So now we looked at white space, we looked at eye pattern, and we looked at hierarchy. And for those of you who were in my class yesterday, we had colors, typography, shapes, photos, textures. How do we bring that all together? How do we lay that out in a compelling way? And so the next number of slides here, we're going to look at practical ways that this can be done. First off, before you even started, you have to know your purpose, which was the first half of yesterday. Know what you're doing. But when you get to this stage, view each page of your project as a canvas to only paint the necessary items to get your message across. We fight this a lot with our with our business owners, because they come and say, well, I want to put all the information about my product, about my machine as possible on this page. And so you're putting text here, and you're putting a photo here, and you're putting a thumbnail there, and you're putting more text down here. It's like, okay, back up. What has to be communicated? What is information that if the interest is there and we brought them in, we can give them that information later? Okay. That's the whole point of, and I think I have this in one of the next, the very next point. Categorize your content in groups of importance. Pages should have up to 4 or 5 groups of information. Order them in order of importance. In other words, we have to get the attention. So we're going to use a nice big photograph. That's number one. That's going to take up half the page. Okay, so what's the secondary information? Secondary information is the title. They like the photo, we grab the title. Okay, so that's number two. We're going to put that nice and bold. What's the third bit of information? Well, third bit of information is the content, the body, the text. Okay, so we put that in nice columns. Okay, but there's a fourth bit of information, that there's a phrase that when they leave the page, I really want them to catch it. Okay, so we're going to make a little call-out box. We're going to make that text in a different color, and we're going to look at examples of this. I'm going over it kind of rapidly. But that's how you follow through that pattern. You don't just out of the blue say, oh, I've got some extra space here. Let's just throw a fancy little... We do that sometimes because we like to add character to our pages. But if thought is put into that as you're going, it can be much more powerful. Right with that, and that's what I was talking about, place your groups and logical patterns on your page to match eye movement. So in other words, the most important is the title or the image, so that goes at the top. The second area is the center, so that's where we're going to grab their attention. And when they're leaving the page, is across the bottom. Why do most ads have the phone number or the business name in the bottom right-hand corner? Because that's what they want people to remember as they're going out of the page. That bottom right-hand corner is very important. Which part of the magazine do you think people like to... What part of a magazine do you think publishers like to run their ads in? So you have an... you're in an airplane, you pull the little magazine out. Where do you think your ad would be most effective? Outside of the front and back cover, which those are the most important. Inside the back cover. Why do you say that? Last thing you look at? It's actually the first thing you look at. How many of you page from back to front in a magazine that you're not sure you want to read it, but you're just kind of thumbing through it? They like those back pages. Why do they put the ads at the back of the magazine? Because as you're thumbing through it, it's the first thing you see. Clever. Never thought of it that way. When you break a pattern, it will either stand out, which is a good thing, and if it's done right, is good, or it will detract. And that is the difficult thing. That's what comes with experience and is actually different by different people. Don't be afraid to let more white space than not. And that's where I have that phrase, we'll come back to it, of if in doubt, let it out. Give room for your audience to breathe and be comfortable, then provide a reasonable continuity from page to page. We like when it is the same. No, the same can become monotonous. But if every page does not follow a pattern, it gets confusing and overwhelming. And I will not subscribe to a magazine that every page is different because it's overwhelming. But when there is a continuity that I can expect page to page, an easy-to-read idea, an easy-to-read layout, makes it much easier. What's wrong with this? Now I want to hear from y'all. The next 6 or 7 slides are just pages. I took a project we did for MZL, and I put it on Spanish so that hopefully most of you don't understand the grammatical problems in here. But I made this for this very presentation. What are things you see wrong with this page based on the comments and the conversation we had so far? I want to hear from you folks.
I don't know where to look first.
Very good point. Where do you start? What else?
Text is too close to the edge.
It's going to get cut off unless they have a very good pressman. I feel claustrophobic. What else? There's no alignment. This page, or what?
Well,
anywhere. There's no logical pattern. Okay, we do have our grouping, but what's wrong with that grouping?
The boy is smothered by the books.
I want to look at this boy because he looks inviting back there. But he's covered. I don't know what. What's wrong with this? Exactly right. This is a big peeve of mine. When people run text across a fold, when you run text across a fold, people won't read it. And so I open up these brochures, I open up these catalogs. Trifolds is the only place where we can somewhat get away from it because we're limited on a single piece of paper. But as much as possible, do not put valuable content across folds because it breaks the message. It breaks up. So I've seen people put titles and they run from the whole way from one to the other. If you have a good pressman and they keep it lined up, it can be done. But so often when the bindery comes through, that page is just shifted an 1/8 inch, 1/16 inch up and you broke your continuity. Don't put text across folds. That is a big no-no. It destroys legibility. What's this purple line doing down here? Well, there was an empty space, and I felt something had to be in there. So I put a purple line in there. I don't know. Why else? What? Someone say something? It doesn't match. I have a blue page. My theme is the blue, and even this yellow competes with that.
Blue, red, and yellow are the three primary colors.
So maybe that's the thing I have going for it. Okay, we are picking a lot of, and the poor designer, which is me, I'm feeling pretty embarrassed. This is what the page actually printed. It is rather busy. This was printed as to be a curriculum manual for which us booksellers who didn't know much about school books could sell school books in Latin America. So that's why there's a lot of text. It's slash a reference book and a sales tool all in one for homeschoolers in Central America. So we did have a lot of information we had to pack in there. But is it any better? I hope it is, because this is what we printed. Now, I realize this is Portuguese, but this is the book Putting Off Anger by John Koblenz, and CLP is the original owner of that. But they came to us and wanted us to write, to design a new cover for the Portuguese work printed by Mount Zion Literature. Good cover? Bad cover? How do you feel? What did we learn about the color red yesterday? Anybody remember?
It's very a strong emotional color.
Right, very strong emotional color. Gets your attention. Grabs your eyes. We make it large. Anger. This word, the IRA, is the word for anger in Portuguese. Putting off anger is the what it says. Okay, we have eye pattern. We have a title. We have a fella with that graphic communicating it. We have the minor information down below. This is, of course, the back cover. Our rule of thirds. Third, top block, text center block, and the bottom block. This gives continuity to the title. Some people might say, I don't like that, because that leads off the... Yes, I agree. This is personal preference here. You know, and that's the thing what happens with design, is it becomes very subjective. But, you know, we could have had them come back and say, hey, we have more text on this front page. We want you to move this fellow over and put all the text down the side here. Well, that's pretty much. That gets to be overbearing. But what's the overall feeling you get here? Do you get a soft, squishy, happy feeling? No. We get a very aggressive. And that's the whole thing, is putting it off. We want to talk about anger. We want them to pick up and think about anger. And then what does the Bible say about anger? Exact opposite. What do you think of this cover? How does this cover make you feel? You probably can't read what that says, but tell me what that cover is saying to you.
Freedom.
Freedom. This is a book put out by Lamp and Light. It's Freedom at Last. Liberty al fin. It's Freedom at Last is what we say. I don't know what the actual title is in English. But it's right. When we talk about grays yesterday, grays give you a very hopeless feeling. There's no future. Steel, gray. We didn't use black because we're not trying to intimidate and we're not evil. We're communicating somebody's trapped. That sharp razor gives you the feeling of danger. I'm stuck. What does the dove communicate? What does the blue sky? What does the clouds communicate?
Peace.
Peace. Freedom. Escape. Title is Free at Last. Okay? What does blue communicate? What did we learn yesterday? Trust. Honesty. Blue is often used as a corporate color because of the sense of stability that blue brings. Again, we have some of the design things of the title right at the, if you go in the line of thirds, you have your title right across that third line. We have this giving you a sense of bleeding off the edge, bleeding off the bottom edge of it continues on. It's a big area. Sky, freedom, openness, can go anywhere I want. All of that communicated in a simple little cover. This is a Reaching Out magazine that we do in Spanish. What they're doing is all of the old issues from whenever it started, they went about 15 years back, 10 years back, and Mana Digital, Digital Mana, however you say it, Mana Digital, is working at translating and producing all of these a lot of these books. And this one was difficult because we had to come up with a design that can be repeated again and again and again quickly, but not become overbearing, but not become stale, not become stuck in a rut. Title, rule of thirds, this center photo changes out with issues, table of contents at the bottom. Inside layout, a little more reference style. Now, when I pulled this together, this was actually reversed. This was one page, and you flipped the page, and it was this one. That's why the page numbers are at the wrong spot. But I was talking about whenever there's a comment that you want someone to remember, even if they don't read the whole page. You bring it in a way like this. You bring attention to it with solid lines. You change the... this phrase here talks about a stable home. You know, what makes a stable home? And that's what this sentence is all about. Just another layout of that. A graphic in here to graphically express data in an easy way. This was an article by Roger Berry of The World Today. Oops, somehow I got this slide in here twice. Which, when in doubt, leave it out, is my favorite saying. And this is my last slide that I will let you with. The purpose of legibility, the purpose of hierarchy and design, is to communicate a message. And the more efficiently that you can communicate a message, your audience can go away bettered by it. So I hope that the discussion here today gives you a little insight to what goes on in the thought processes of a designer. There's a lot. I believe every stage of making a book, there's a lot of thought and a lot of theory and a lot of ideas that go into it. Any thoughts, any questions, any comments?
Just a question about the book cover with the red title about anger. The author's name is in red also. Was that just for balancing the color?
It was. It probably may have not been a wise idea because of the red thing. But yeah, it's just a personal taste. Something like that, I would say, is more personal taste. Okay. And you're excused.